You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:55 a.m. We've got plenty of action to get stuck into. We go to Sedgefield, Exeter and Sandown in the afternoon, and we've got evening action at Newcastle and Dundalk. So plenty to get stuck into. The team on Friday, Gary Capewell, Gareth Topham and Amy Ryan in the studio. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined by Andy Gibson to look ahead to the action. How are you, Andy?
I'm very good, Mark. How are you doing?
Very well, very well. Another top-class weekend of racing. Mm-hmm. Every weekend at the moment in the jump season, we've got another grade one. We've got more stars returning or stars back out in action. And this weekend's very much the same. We've got two grade ones to look forward to at Sandown. We've got the Beecher Chase at Aintree. We're going to see, hopefully, many clouds and native river meet again at Aintree as well. Which, you know, it's just, for a National Hunt Racing fan, every weekend is an absolute treat.
It is. It's an exciting time of the year. November, December is often a great time to be involved, and often also a great time to try and make a bit of money as well.
Yes. So
that's my experience anyway. Quite often I'll have a very good November, December, and maybe a little bit of a lull in January. I usually take the first 2 weeks of January off and go somewhere sunnier. And then hopefully come back in time to be on the ball well before the Cheltenham Festival.
Yeah,
that's kind of how my season unfolds usually.
Well, we've got you in at the right time then.
I hope so.
We'll get a few winners out of you today. Yeah, because you are very much a jumps fan, aren't you? You do all of your work for the year really comes through the winter months, doesn't it?
Well, it's my website's the Cheltenham Trail, and that follows all of these races that you're talking about with excitement. I preview all of these races in sort of fairly detailed fashion often, and then I review them as well, and then I'll make key notes as to how they impact upon the Cheltenham Festival on the 12 grade one races I cover at the festival. So it's all stuff that I'm working on, you know, 10 hours a day most days sort of thing. It's exciting stuff.
We're going to get into previews in just a moment, but just a quick question for you on that Many Clouds Chase. Mm-hmm. Native River and Mike Bites served up a great finish in the Gold Cup a few years ago. Neither of them have won a race since.
Mm.
Do you think we'll see them bounce back? Will it be those two back to their best, do you think, on Saturday?
I wouldn't want to bet on that at 5-4 and 11-4. I think it's interesting that, you know, Mike Bites running here because, you know, presumably they'll want to get a run into him. Where are we? December. So they've got 20 days after this or whatever to get him ready for the King George, if that's where they go. It just seems more likely to me that they're more likely thinking, well, I'm not sure he's up to King George now, and let's see what we can do here. I'd probably, at those prices, I wouldn't touch Native River round Aintree at 5-4. He will be suited by the long home straight, but he certainly won't be suited by the tight turns. He'll get going up the home straight, so whatever, I think, you know, however he's travelling on the bends, he's going to be travelling an awful lot better when he's two-thirds up the straights.
Yeah.
So he's interesting, and he's also interesting first time out because he's that sort of horse. You wouldn't be concerned about that. The Tizzards are in really good form. Mike Bite, it's been a long time since we've seen him run well. Kildisart was given a very quiet introduction to the season. I thought he was really interesting. Top Notch, I don't think, quite stays this trip. ASO ran better than I thought over 3 miles last time at Wetherby in the Charlie Hall. Possibly stuck in the mud on the inside for too long. And it's a fascinating race. And you know Black Corton's going to run well for a long way at least and be sort of thereabouts in between the final two fences. It's a tightly knit race, and it's possible that Native River will be too good for them. But it's been a while since we've seen the best of him as well, and I think I don't think I'd be in a hurry to back anything short.
I must correct myself there, because I've done Mike Bite a little bit of an injustice. He has won since the Gold Cup. He came out and won at Aintree afterwards, but then
he did, yeah,
struggled,
but, yeah,
since. But yeah, it's a long time since we've seen the best of him anyway. That's still true. Let's look at another race at Aintree. 1:30, we go over the Grand National Fences for the Beecher Handicap Chase, Grade 3 over 3.25 miles, always wide open, always very exciting. Mulcahy's Hill is 13-2. It's 9-1 for 8-1 for Kimberlite Candy. 1 for Arthur, the previous Grand National winner. He's 8-1. Vintage Cloud's 8-1. 9-1 via Leon Rouge. Walk in the Mill is 9-1. It's 11s or bigger prices for the remainder. Via Leon Rouge, we know he's very good over these fences, but he maybe just doesn't quite stay the Grand National trip. Is this the better race for him throughout the year?
Yeah, it is the better race for him. I mean, he's running the Grand National, finished down the field. He ran well in this last year when he came second to Walk in the Mill. He's on a lower weight this time around, significantly lower weight. A 2 pound lower weight this time around. The only time he flopped in this race when it was on very heavy ground, I'm just looking for that. Ah, there. In 2017, he flopped in this race, but that was on horrible, horrible ground. You'd forgive him for that. I think he's ran well in three other occasions in this race. He just looks like he's been nicely prepared for this. A little run round over hurdles last time out at Cheltenham.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're looking for a horse, if I was going racing to Aintree on Saturday and I thought, right, I want a horse that I know is going to give me a nice run for my money at close to a double figure price, he might well be a double figure price on the day, it would have to be V. Leon Rouge.
Could you say similar about Walk in the Mill, given that he's won the race before?
Yeah, of course. And also what I like about Walk in the Mill, I've just been saying it today on the radio, that there's definitely the Robert Walford yard is definitely on the cusp of a change. They're definitely just starting to run a little bit better. The problem with that is that, in my experience, when a trainer is on the cusp of a change, you can start following them in a little bit too soon, because you sort of don't want to miss a winner. And I think you're far better off waiting till they've had two or three winners and wait till the change has definitely occurred, because I think otherwise you could find yourself losing 14 times in a row waiting for the change to happen. And I think as a general rule of thumb, I like to wait until it's changed. And he hasn't had a winner yet, and he had another one run quite well today, fifth place, I can't remember the name of it, but ran well today. He's just on the cusp of a change, and it's a yard I'm monitoring very closely. But it'd be V. Leon Rouge as an each way that looks fairly likely to be in the first four or five.
A bit of money for him already as we record this as well. 14s into 9s for V. Leon Rouge. In the 1:30 at Aintree, the Beecher Handicap Chase, always a particular highlight at this time of year, as are the two Grade 1s at Sandown. The 150 is the first of them, the Henry VIII Novices Chase, a Grade 1 over just shy of 2 miles. Torpedo, the 9-4 favourite, being backed in from 11-4. Somerville Boy, 11-4, 3-1 Nube Negra. Mary Banrai is 4-1, 92 Grown Saunsea, Esprit de Large, 10s, 16s Beakstown, and 25-1 for Return Ticket. What do you like in the Henry VIII?
Well, I'm not sure I like anything at this stage, early stage of the week. It's something that I'll be studying in depth tomorrow and Saturday morning and putting it up on the site. My first thoughts on the race is that I thought Torpedo would be far from certain to reproduce that success over Mr. Fisher if they ran against each other again. I can understand Torpedo being favourite because he's got the four-year-old allowance. So I think he was the sort of the go-to, I suppose. I'm presuming he's still favourite, is he?
Yeah, 9-4 favourite.
I was interested to... were you on with Kate on the podcast the other day?
Yes.
Yeah, and it was interesting because obviously Kate's involved with the Tom George yard, and I think I heard her saying how brilliantly Somerville Boy has schooled at home, and yet he hasn't shown that on the track. Certainly his jumping of hurdles left a lot to be desired, and he didn't look convincing at all last time out at Uttoxeter on his... was that his chasing debut or his second run over fences? I can't remember. But he didn't look convincing at all on that occasion. That was his chasing debut, yeah, and his first run after wind surgery. He's won the race, but he's won it more by default when First Floor nearly ran out at the second last, I think it was. So, yeah, he's... I'd be open-minded with him. It'll take a lot of jumping, this, and it made me not cross him out as quickly when I was listening to Kate talking about him. I like Nubi Negra. He has been absolutely exceptional over his fences, and I thought this would suit him. And yeah, I don't think there's going to be many. It'd be interesting if the Skeletons run Mary Banry as well. It'd be interesting if they run that one as well, because that'll go off like the clappers. Mm. And Nuba Negra is quite a keen going sort, so I think he'll probably need a fast pace to be seen as his, in his best light. So yeah, we'll see. There's a lot more work. The other one, of course, the Skeletons have also got Beakstown, which is quite interesting because he's looked a 3 miler in the making, and suddenly they've entered him in this race. His jumping's rather fallen to bits a little bit, so I can't imagine they will line up here with a horse looking like he wants to be a 3 miler. You couldn't rule out the Evan Williams horse, but I've got a lot of work to do on this race yet.
Okay, so a few to consider then so far in that. Henry VIII, and the feature race at Sandown is the 3 o'clock. It is the Tingle Creek Chase, a grade one over a mile and 7.5 furlongs. Defida Soy, the market leader at 13-8, 7-2 per Litterlog, Undeso 9-2, 6-1 So Royal, Janica is 8-1, 12's waiting patiently, Dolos is 25s and Ornua, the outsider, at 33-1. Several interesting angles in this race. You've got Defida Soy, who is well fancied at the top of the market, 13-8, and obviously very good on his day. You've got Politolog, who's won this race in the past, so has Underso, waiting patiently, dropping back to 2 miles as well. There's plenty of interesting little angles in here.
There is, and I think the ground is going to be crucial. I haven't obviously I've been busy on William Hill today and yesterday. I haven't yet checked the weather forecast for Sandown. I'll have a good look at that. At the moment, it's good to soft. My first thoughts on the race are that if it's good to soft, I think waiting patiently would struggle on good to soft ground, and I think would need it extremely soft to be at his best over 2 miles. Underso would prefer soft, yeah. Definitely. Politolog will be fine on it. So Royal might get away with good to soft, so I'd slightly mark his claims up. There's going to be plenty of pace in the race with Ornua and Underso, so we're going to get a good gallop. Defi de Soy would be as quick as any horse in training, I think, from the final fence to the winning line. So there's a couple of angles I'm exploring at the moment. One is, if I come down on the side of Defi de Soy, and I haven't yet, but if I did, I think I'd also be quite keen on him to beat one of the two target horses that he's likely to be chasing in between the final two, which would be a Politolog or Underso. So I think there's if I was backing Defi, I think there's a stronger chance than the odds would suggest of the second horse to follow him home being Politolog or Underso. That's one possible angle. I'm not as keen on Janica, and I'm not as keen on So Royal unless the ground continues to dry. And the other angle on it would be, my first angle on it was probably that Politolog would probably improve for his run at Cheltenham, where he was forced to make his own running. It was a slowly run race. I timed the race against the Arkle trial on the same day that was won by Put the Kettle On, and Put the Kettle On was actually 3 seconds quicker than Politolog, jumping the second last, which turned it into a sprint finish, and Politolog actually finished ahead of Put the Kettle On by the winning line, so made up about 15 lengths on that on the Henry de Bromhead mare, which means it was a sprint from two out to the winning line, which, and in particular a sprint from the final fence to the winning line, which will have suited Defi de Soy. I think Politolog will improve on that run. I'm not saying he'll beat Defi de Soy, but I do think he'll improve on that Cheltenham run. I was hoping for an each-way price for him, and we'll see how the market develops.
7-2 at the time of recording, Politolog. Defi de Soy, the 13-8 favourite. Great renewal of the Tingle Creek. And if they do come towards the last together, Politolog and Defi de Soy, and it does turn into a who's going to quicken up the hill better, it's going to be quite an entertaining spectacle as well, isn't it?
Cause yeah, and the crucial thing will be, you know, Politolog perhaps settling off a faster pace.
Yeah.
And the other thing, of course, is he's run really well around Sandown before and jumped really well, whereas actually I think it was February, Defi de Soy ran round Sandown against Lost in Translation. That would have been in the Scilly Isles. And although he won the race, he didn't actually jump very well. Now, that might have been because the ground was appalling, because actually Lost in Translation on the same day didn't jump well, and Robbie Power, I remember, got off him and said he was actually slipping going into his fences. So it might purely be about that, but what you still would say is that Politolog is proven to have jumped well around Sandown, and he's suited by it, whereas we can't be absolutely certain with Defi de Soy just yet.
There's good action to look forward to at Sandown on Friday as well. That's obviously coming up on Saturday, those races we've mentioned. On Friday, we've got a Grade 2, 225 at Sandown, which is the Winter Novices Hurdle, a Grade 2 over 2.5 miles. Happy Go Lucky is the 2-1 favourite, 5-2 over the top. Emma's Joy, 9-2. Of all the gin joints is 6-1, 8-1 for Up the Straight. Enrilo is 12s and House Island is 20-1. Happy Go Lucky, the favourite at the top of the market. Kim Bailey's going quite well at the moment. What do you make of Happy Go Lucky to start with?
Yeah, and the thing with first of all, this is not a strong race. It's not a strong race for a Grade 2. You look at, I don't know what price, House Island is 20-1 and is rated 126 and has a penalty. And over the of all the gin joints is the fourth favourite and is rated 131. You know, horses to be looking like they're Cheltenham Festival bound for even place chances in the Ballymore would need to be 145 or something like that. So there's, you know, it's early in the season yet for these novices. So there's, you know, there's some way to go, and maybe that will sort itself out nearer the time. But I think Happy Go Lucky sets the bar. He'll be okay on good to soft ground, and he'll be definitely okay, possibly even better on soft ground. He's beaten Mercy Mercy Me, the ex-Fergal O'Brien, now Paul Nicholls thing, at Stratford in October. Then last time out, this might well be the best 2.5 mile novice, the best Ballymore or Albert Bartlett trial we've seen so far. And he's managed to finish third. He's only been beaten 3/4 of length by the Fergal O'Brien trained Champagne Well. He's finished well clear of the fourth or Someday Soon, who's won 3 or 4 on the bounce until getting beat at Chepstow and then here. The winner, Time Hill, is one of the favourites for the Albert Bartlett. Wouldn't be out of place in the Ballymore on very soft ground. Now, on the negative side with Happy Go Lucky is, I think at that meeting, he benefited by getting a really good ride from David Bass, who stuck to the wide outside, which I think was a huge advantage. So he may have benefited from a very positive ride from David Bass on that day. And at the same time, I think he's the form horse. Whether he's a 2-1 shot, I'm not sure, but he is, you know, at the moment, he's the horse that I would be tending towards for that race. I don't know if I'd back him at 2-1, but he looks like he's setting the bar anyway.
So most likely winner, Happy Go Lucky, at the time of recording this. And that's 2.25, and the 2.55 at Sandown is where we go next, a 3-mile amateur riders handicap chase. No prices at the moment, but we do have a field of 9 set to go to post. And these races, some punters would be a little bit wary about going to an amateur riders contest. So what's made you pick this?
Well, you know, sometimes you get these naps and next bests, and you look at the racing and you think, oh, that's great, this horse is running and I've just been waiting for this. And it just happens on Friday. Someone's from my website's just WhatsApped me asking if there'll be any notes for tomorrow, and I've just sort of said possible, but definitely loads on Saturday. And it's because the Sandown card doesn't sort of get me going tomorrow that much. The Sandown card on Saturday is fantastic, as is the Aintree card. And I perhaps like the Sedgefield card a little bit tomorrow, but I haven't yet started getting stuck into it. But Le Rev is a horse that interests me. He's running in his perfect circumstances, bit of cut in the ground, 3 miles, handicap chase, round Sandown, and he's now eligible for a 0-130. Having run in a much better race last time out when beaten by Hublon Desorbo. He's just, in the past, been pretty consistent over this course and distance. Relatively speaking, I'm assuming he'll be an each-way price. I wouldn't always look first to get involved in an amateur riders race, but sometimes you look at the card and nothing stands out for you and you think, well, you know, this is a 5-star nap today, but then the next day it might be a 1-star nap. Today, I just think Happy Go Lucky is the obvious horse to go to and might be a bit short. And I think if Le Rev's a decent price, he's the sort of horse, a little bit like V Leon Rouge, that will give us a nice run for our money,
yeah,
and should run well.
Yeah, proven form around Sandown is always a benefit.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
he's got that. So the Rev, if he's an each way price, could be a rock solid each way bet. And that's 2.55 to go along with Happy Go Lucky this election in the 2.25. Been a pleasure as always, Andy. Best of luck, and hope you enjoy the action this weekend.
Nice one, Mark. Thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of Andy Gibson on Friday's racing, and a little bit of a look ahead to Saturday as well. You'll hear all of the action on Friday on William Hill Racing Radio from 11:55 a.m. We've got a busy day of action. Gary Capewell, Gareth Topham and Amy Ryan, the team in the studio, do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.